You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is, of course, a Wednesday, the 11th of December 2024, the year, and, of course, the month. I'm moving right along towards the end of it. But every Wednesday, we do this thing called, Entrepreneurship and Small Business Wednesday. And today is no different because we are talking to Mrs. Pilirani Chuma about her business, and she'll be letting us in on some of the lessons that she has learned along the way, particularly for those of you who are aspiring entrepreneurs and want to know how to navigate this space. She will help us understand that a little bit. Mrs. Chuma, welcome to the show, and good evening to you.
Good evening to you.
Ah, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for your time. And how has the year been for you as a business person?
It's been a highs and lows, but okay. We survived.
Yeah.
In December, so we'll count it as a success.
Ah, I love that. Love that. I love the positive spirit. Is it lonely being an entrepreneur? Because most of the people we speak to, it's a very tough, lonely journey.
It is, particularly when you're starting out. I run a law firm, so I'm a solo partner. It is rather lonely when you compare to the fact that I was coming from an institution which had about 900 people. So it can be lonely, but in the loneliness, then there's empowerment as well.
Ah, there's empowerment, right? Love that. Love that so much. Okay. So your business is called McDonald's and Don Associates, right? Before we even talk about what McDonald's and Don Associates does, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself? And I know it's a pretty odd question. Maybe you get that question quite a bit everywhere you get to talk about your business. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you? Where were you born? Did you always want to be in this kind of space?
Okay, so I was born in Blantyre, Malawi.
Yeah.
I have three kids.
Yeah.
I'm a mother.
Yeah.
I'm a daughter. I'm a wife.
Yeah.
And when I started out, I'm a lawyer. I've practiced law for 16 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I started in private practice.
Yeah.
And then I migrated to go to corporate, but I still did want to maintain going litigating. So you must be litigating in private practice.
Yeah.
Not so much in corporate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did want, I think, at the back of my mind to open my own law firm. It's just I didn't think it was for people like me. It just seemed like it was something that other people did. I imagined I'm going to go back to private practice being employed by someone.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but I did imagine that I'll end my career going back to private practice.
Oh, my goodness. What made you, ma'am, just to ask a little bit about that, what made you think that it's not for people like you?
I did not grow up seeing a lot of women operating law firms independently.
Yes,
especially here in Malawi. We are very few lawyers already. And most few lawyers, I think 20% is female. And because law in itself is male-dominated already, and business more so, because we're looking at the way people make business connections with the spaces where they are usually male. The golf clubs, the usual places.
Yeah.
I did not see any woman. I know there's one council, and she has always been beautiful.
Yeah.
And she opened a firm a long time ago. Her name is Mrs. Otoba, Innocence Otoba.
Yeah.
But I always thought she was braver than me, that I would look at her and say, I wish I could. Yeah. So, by the very nature of law and business, I didn't think I would manage to
Definitely. Oh, my goodness. That's a very beautiful story there. And yes, you're quite right. I think if you look at the entire African continent, even other countries besides Malawi, the law space is really male-dominated. And in some instances and in some quarters, you find that it's even white male-dominated for that matter, which makes it even more difficult. And so to have pioneering women like yourself in this space is really an amazing thing there. But did you always want to be a lawyer growing up?
I did.
Oh.
I think that's the one thing that I did have a clear thought on. I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, my.
And when I got selected to university, because they're in Malawi, you start a generic course.
Yes.
So I was selected to do nursing at first.
Yeah.
I had thought that my dream was over. But I went there and I found out that any person that does what we used to call University of Malawi then,
yeah,
if you do very well in wherever you are, you can then apply to be considered for Bachelor of Laws.
Yeah.
So then I went really hard to ensure that I got, because the average grade then I think was 65 in all subjects.
Sure.
So I did work hard to get back to back to the dream, because I had thought that it was really lost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's really interesting. And then tell us then a little bit about your business. What exactly do you do in terms of which type of law do you practice in as McDonald's and Don Associates?
So just to introduce the answer to that is when you do law in Malawi, and I know that in South Africa you can go straight to a Bachelor of Laws in commerce.
Yeah.
Or in terms of, so in Malawi, we do a generic Bachelor of Laws. So in that Bachelor of Laws honors, then you cover all subjects, also civil law, judicial law, criminal law. And then I did that. And, then I did my master's at Stellenbosch. I did an international trade law course.
Yeah.
So my specialty is in commercial law.
Yeah.
But I do commercial and civil. So I'm not so much in criminal. I would do sometimes a pro bono case in criminal, but my firm does mostly commercial law cases and civil cases.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And what then would you say makes your law firm different from all the other law firms out there?
My take is every person is going to give you, if they're a lawyer, they're going to give you the best skill. But I've come from a background of respect. I'm an adventist. I was born a adventist.
Yes.
And you know, in adventism, there is a thing of respect, as respecting hierarchy, keeping your word. I actually got my adventism training.
Yeah.
That I keep my word.
Which is very important.
If I am meeting a client at 10, I will not take for granted that that person is coming. So what I have seen, people who have referred clients to me is they'll say no. The people say you keep your word. So I do keep my word, and I am honest. I may not know when the case will be set. For instance, that is not within my control. But for the things that I have within my control, I'll be honest. If it's a bad case, I will inform you that these are the facts that work against us.
Yeah.
But we are going to work within the law to ensure that it gets.
Yeah.
So when I'm assessing myself, I would like to say I am honest and I'll keep my word.
Yeah.
So that I'm not selling dreams. I know that mostly people would have the American view of law.
Yeah.
The one that you see is where you are always winning. And, you know, the law is an interesting thing, but you need to work within it to ensure that you're giving your clients what is possible. But not that you're selling dreams.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. I just want to ask on this point where you made that you keep your word, right? I don't know if in Malawi the euphemism is the same, but you hear people saying lawyer, liar. Have you ever found something like that?
Of course. Like I said, the problem is when I think this happens in every business.
Yeah.
You like to overwhelm the client with success.
If
the facts are bad, so the mostly with lawyers, because you see, when someone is coming to the law, unless it is just for instance transfer of land, that is not the person that's desperate. But mostly people are meeting you when they're very vulnerable. So the thing with lawyers is you'd like to ensure that you get the best possible, so you can sell something that's not true. And when you do that, then that's where the issue of lawyers being lies, because you overpromise and underdeliver.
Yes.
So when you underdeliver, then everyone is. If you meet a client to say, look, in this accident, you get 2 million kwacha. And if they get 100 kwacha, obviously they have thought I'll get so much. Then this adage of lawyers being lies comes in. But I think it's a trap that most business people go in. You overpromise.
Yeah.
without really being realistic. I mean, we're not going to tell them that we lose, but we say, look, this is what we have working against us, but we work to ensure that we get a good
success. Oh, that's amazing. And when did McDonald's and Don Associates start?
I started the firm in June of
2019. Okay. And that was before COVID. And I know it's like almost like a boogeyman. When you say COVID, everyone just goes, ooh, COVID. But do you think that, you know, it had an impact in your business?
It did. It did a lot because although the, you see, Malawi shut down partly.
Mm.
And partly, but what we noticed is that most businesses who are the steady customers that you have in terms of commercial transactions, they were not open for business as much as they could. So it changed drastically the projection that any firm had, let alone someone who was just starting.
Mm.
So COVID affected us a lot. And even now, you'll find that people are still recovering from COVID, the companies that, and even more people who are running businesses that would want to, for instance, expand.
Mm.
So COVID affected business very drastically. And by then, when I think in 2020, I had just done 6 months, and then businesses started shutting down. So it was very painful. And I really didn't think that I would sit here and still be coping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know whether we were going to survive.
Yes. Did you have to like let people go or restructure finances and stuff like that?
Mostly restructure finances, because when I started, I didn't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It was myself, my process server, and my capital. So when the government said you should have a few people in places, so we'll say, look, our office was small, we already had three people.
Yeah.
But where one of us is not feeling well, we'll say, look, you take all the time you can. So it will be myself only at the office, or it will be me with the secretary. So we didn't have to, but the good thing is I didn't have a lot of staff.
So
I didn't have to be structured.
Yeah. Okay. That's quite interesting. And 4 years after COVID, what is your sense of your business? I'm sure surviving COVID in itself gave you that, I suppose, encouragement or impetus to say that, well, maybe I'm doing the right thing, or maybe the Lord really is good.
Oh, yes. If you want to see a good Christian, meet the people that are doing businesses, because really, you are living on a prayer. And when you sit down on that desk, you pray and you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to pay salaries. And that's the resilience that has come through COVID.
Mm.
You understand that it's not because you're brilliant, it's because God is with you.
Eish.
Look, so many people closed down, people did layoffs.
Yeah.
And people that are brilliant, it's not brilliance that has gotten us through. It's the trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
You wake up today and you don't know, okay, this is the month end, I must pay salaries. And then someone will just walk through the door.
Yeah.
Literally, I tell you, I want this done. And you will find that by God's grace, discovering salaries, discovering after. So COVID has taught many people things, but what it has taught many of us, entrepreneurs, I think, is that it's not because of hard work, but it's because of God's grace that we are operating.
Yeah. No, we thank the Lord indeed. Now, I know law is like a service type of a business as opposed to a manufacturing or product-based business and all that. But I do want to think that there are obviously costs when you start the business. So how did you raise funding for your business?
When I think about it, I think I was fired from my corporate job.
Sure.
And I was so traumatized by that experience that I said I would not look for any other job.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to say I am staying here and God is going to get me through this.
Yeah.
So the first 6 months, I recall that I because I'm just coming from a corporate job, I feel like if I left with a package at all, it was mostly my husband who was working. So he would quickly... he works in a bank, we'll get a bank loan, the short-term loans, and then we'll pay rentals for 3 months. Then when I make anything, we'll ensure that we pay it back. And also, for me, it was, I have a great support system. My parents both live close to me. So where I was really hard done by, and we had exhausted most of the credit lines that we could, they would help out. If we couldn't manage to pick up the kids, they would pick up the kids. So I didn't have any credit worthiness. I could not go to someone and say, please give me a loan. But it was my husband and my family who really supported me.
Who really supported you, eh?
To the point that, yes, when we started at least, you know, seeing the light of day, we paid back all the loans that we had taken, and at least we could say we can survive.
Yeah.
Because it was like touch and go, touch and go.
Touch and go.
You know, with COVID,
yeah,
even the businesses that given you work, they would not pay you because they were not doing very well themselves.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so you'd have an invoice and it was just as good as the paper it was written.
Eish, yeah, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eish, It was tough.
It was very difficult. Did you still have to like appear in courts even during those difficult, hard COVID times, for example?
In some cases. But what we saw, so as I said, I've practiced law for 16 years.
Yeah.
Courts would not allow at any point to have a trial online.
Yes.
So at first, you'd see resistance. So cases would get adjourned because there was COVID. But then the judicial officer started adapting. Then you started seeing even the older judges saying, let's have this trial online. So at that time, I don't even remember if we had Zoom before COVID, but then Zoom was just, everyone was just starting to know Zoom.
Yes.
So we'll conduct a whole trial online, and by and by, I think there was a period of like 3 months where most of the cases were online.
Yeah.
Even when Zoom wasn't working, because then it was, people didn't know that you could buy a whole link, or at least I didn't know. Then you do. I did one even on WhatsApp call in a magistrate court. But in criminal cases, magistrates will still appear. But what they'll do is they'll sit there and then they'll space people. It will only be the accused and very few lawyers.
Yeah,
who would have to appear, because I suppose in those cases some of the evidence cannot be given online.
Yes.
Yeah. But the court has adapted greatly even to date.
Sure.
Without COVID, you're able to do this. Whereas before that, it was unheard of.
I'm sure it was. Okay. When you open your doors in 2019, for example, do you remember who your first customer is? And I'm not really necessarily asking for their name, but what was that experience like? I'm sure it was reassuring that you're doing the right thing or you're in the right business type of a thing when you see a person walking through. Because I don't know, but I'm told that it's a business one. Someone is willing to buy or pay for the service.
I recall actually my customer, I may not name him.
Yeah.
But I had been working in the private firm where I worked 8 years before.
Yeah.
I had done work for him. And then he went away. He went to the Americas. Then towards my conclusion of my job, he kept calling and said, I really need to talk to you. So I did not think I was going to lose my job. So I had thought I'm going to give him to somebody else. When I left employment and I said I was going to start my firm, he called me and said, look, I have been telling you I need to transfer some land into my son's name. And I said, actually, if you're okay with it, I've just opened my firm. And that was the first file that I had. I had that one file. And I did that case, I think, for the transfer for like a month, but it would be like one file. I would sit down, and that is the only thing that I had for some time, until then people started calling and making reference. But it was that one file over all clients that saved me to that first month.
That's amazing. And how have you then, you know, sort of like got new clients? Is it word of mouth? I'm sure every trial that you go to, particularly the good ones that you win, people tell other people and all that. Is in the law fraternity, word of mouth the biggest way to get new clients? Or do you have like social media? How do you get new clients?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
That has been, yes. I think 80% of my clients have been word of mouth. We cannot advertise legal services in Malawi.
So
I'm not allowed to advertise. So what usually would happen is if I've done a good case, they'll tell someone. Even my friends, actually, my friends would tell their friends, oh, she's running a firm, she's running a firm. But mostly it's been clients referring their people to me.
Yeah.
Or even someone saying, look, you did this case for me. It's a personal case. my company needs it. So it's mostly been word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Word of mouth. So there's something unethical about advertising legal fees. I suppose that makes sense, eh? I think that really does make sense because you don't want to sway people and all those sort of stuff as well. Now, you mentioned that 4 years starting a business was touch and go here and there. There are certain things that were a little bit of a problem. What is the one challenge that you can think of in terms of having run this business, say, over what, 5 years now? What is the one challenge you think about?
Surprisingly, it's not big money. I know that mostly people say money, but no, it has not.
Okay.
The challenge, the challenge has just on now personally has been time.
Time.
Yes. So as an entrepreneur, everything starts and ends with you.
Yes.
So the one thing that I have seen that I'm really learning to balance is the issue of time.
Because of time.
Every client has got a competing need. But as much as you're representing your clients, you're also, as I said, a mother, a wife, a daughter.
Yes, yes.
You can't really give anyone 100%, but if you get to the point where you're panicking in terms of the timelines, that's what I think has been my biggest challenge.
Yeah.
To give competing needs the quality time, because if you have a big case, you have to go to court. You have, and then in the meantime, there are also life is also going on around you. Yeah, so the focus is not on the money, but the focus is on giving this as much time as you can to make it a success.
Yeah. I want us then to get into you now. I think we understand the business, and the issue of time is one that I also want to get into just now, but if you look at the issue of time being the biggest challenge, what is the one high point so far that you look back at with hindsight maybe and you're smiling like, yes, man, I think we're doing the right things?
It's been a lot of high points.
Yeah.
And low points. The one point perhaps would be a case that I did. It was a case concerning a child.
Okay.
And it was such that I think that it was hard to. Okay, it was supposed to be an injunction taken because it was an urgent case.
Yeah.
But it was a Friday, and I was leaving for somewhere. I think on the Saturday I was going abroad. It was an issue, I think, to do with potential trafficking. But why I still remember it today, I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was the pace within which the system worked to ensure that we got the necessary orders to stop this child from being moved.
Yes, yes.
I still recall it. Because, of course, there will be people who will tell you bad things about the justice system. There are always, I think in any system, there are always the cons and the pros.
Yes.
But when you see the law working to save, like in this case, to save a child, and there is nothing else. People think, oh, there's no law. No, try to steal someone or steal something.
Yeah,
they're going to arrest the child. There's still the fear of the law that's still keeping people safe.
For
me, getting that order the way that we did and stopping the potential movement of a child, which has been catastrophic to the child. I still know to get that the system in Malawi works, and despite its problems.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure the parents were very thankful, eh?
No, actually, this was she was an orphan child.
She was an orphan child. Oh, my.
She was an orphan, and that's what made it very precarious, that if it was not for the people that came to alert, and they went to the court, the child justice court, and said, we think there's a child that's in danger. Can you refer us to a lawyer? And then they came to me. So it was very precarious because, you see, we all think someone is looking after us, a child. Mm. But there are some children who don't have parents.
Who don't have
parents. That will only be saved by the mercy of some people acting. And those people acted in good time.
My goodness. Sure, that's such a heartbreaking one, eh? Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about you then as we draw towards a close. What do you think drives you as an entrepreneur? What is it that makes you wake up in the morning and still go to work and say, this entrepreneurship thing is difficult, but I still want to do it?
If I'm honest, I think for me, is the fear of failure.
The fear of failure.
Yes. Look, sure. I think there may be people out there who are comfortable with being not knowing what tomorrow is going to be. But it's a thing that gives me anxiety that, look, I did set out myself to be a mentor. I did not. I did not set out to be an example. Actually, even the fact that I'm on this program is surprising to me. But there is a girl out there that will think I can do this because I did. Now, I'm not representing her, nor am I representing anyone else. I'm just living my life. But I am aware of the negativity that would come to female lawyers, even to mothers. If I tell everyone is going to say, look, you can't have a family and also be in business. If I tell people are going to say, look, Adventists are better. All these facets of our life that we live require that we should succeed.
We should succeed.
That's why we should, that's why we should succeed. We should work hard to succeed, but not compromise yourself. Within the terms of where you were, with the growth that you have from God. People should not say, no, Adventists are bad at business, so they fail because they didn't work in Sabbath. No, I will work hard on the days that I have to work.
Sure.
Because if I don't, then everyone will say, look, women, girls, or whatever it is that they'll brand you as, are not good at this because of this.
Sure, that's a beautiful analogy there. And then, how have you dealt with the family, business, personal life? I think you've alluded to it just a little bit, but how have you dealt with it? I'm sure it's too demanding to balance all these three things: kids, family, and then a business.
Oh yeah, that's a day struggle. I mean, if that day I say my husband is not available or my parents cannot help with the kids.
Yeah.
There are days that I knock off and I get my kids from school and they will be in my office as I'm working so that we knock off together.
Yeah.
So it's a daily balancing act. I will not call it struggle, but it's something that the support system, the leaning on the support system.
Yeah.
Nobody succeeds alone.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You can't be, you cannot be in two places at once.
But
I'm thankful to God that I have a very understanding family.
Yes.
I have understanding parents.
Yes.
And thank God they are both retired, that even in times when I can't go, for instance, it's something like 10 o'clock and I'm caught, I'm able to say, look, Dad, please help me with this. Or my husband, I'll say, look, perhaps let's change. You take one kid, I'll take the other child.
Yeah.
So it's a daily scheduling and balancing act. Just as I said, you just realize it's December and oh, we have made it. And
yes.
Then,
That's beautiful.
Better times.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Okay. And then your typical day, what time do you wake up? What time do you go to bed?
On a typical day, I wake up at 4:30.
4:30, okay.
I squeeze in a run. I ensure that I do a jog.
Yes.
To balance everything.
Yes.
And then prepare the kids. So I have two that are in primary school.
Yeah.
Prepare the kids for school. I have a 6-month-old. And then once they go to school, they go with my husband. He's going to work. Then I take the baby and then I drop the baby at my parents' house. Then I usually am in the office by 8:30.
8:30, okay.
Because if I have a case that's starting at 8, that means I will just accordingly. But usually the cases start at 9.
Yeah.
So I'll be at 8:30, make a few things and then go to court.
Yeah.
On days that I'm busy and I have cases in the afternoon and mornings, that means I may be in the office for like an hour and then that's it, I'm out the whole day. But on some days, usually cases will be scheduled in the morning, so my typical morning is going court, out by 12, and then if I'm picking up one child, pick up a child, and then in the afternoon I'll sit in the office. Mostly that would be my day.
That would be your day, right? Amazing. Okay. If you look back at 5 years or so, if there was an opportunity for you to start something all over again or do it differently, what would be that thing?
I would deliberately open the firm. And why I'm saying deliberately is I'll prepare myself to say, look, I think, as I said, I wanted to go back to private practice. And I had opportunity to to make plans as I'm working in the corporate world.
Mm.
I mean, people would ask you, can you do this? And then you typically just give them to someone else.
Mm.
So the one thing that I rule as I sit now is there were many opportunities that I failed to take because
yes.
I didn't think I was going to do this.
Mm.
But at the back of my head, I said, I want to go back, but the lack of confidence and self-belief, I just thought, I'm going to go back to somebody's and somebody's going to inform me. But I'll prepare more because perhaps that dream that you think is just a crazy dream, it is actually doable if you just assert yourself and you actually do it. So I would really prepare myself to land on my feet because the harshness of the first 6 months, I really wouldn't want to go back to it. It was quite difficult, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow, lovely. And 10 years from now, where do you see the business? I'm sure we will be checking in with you, but where do you see it in 10 years?
I really want to open another branch because I'm in Atlanta, which is the southern region of Hawaii. I would want to open another firm, God willing, say, in Lilongwe and Zuzu.
Okay.
So that then I have a footprint across the country. Because right now, if I have clients that are from the north, I have to, if something urgent, I have to ask someone to take a brief on my behalf, which I think is people do the brief, but there are some nuances in a case that you need to go, on your own. So I would want to do that to expand the firm's
footprint. To expand the firm, right? Yeah, and I'm sure the entire Africa have offices and representation in the entire Africa is. Yes, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? How do they contact you?
I'm available. I think my firm is online. McDonald & Brown Associates. We have a website. Mostly then our details will be there. I'm a member of Kabula Adventist Church. And I try as much as possible when I've been asked by, say, the women's groups to go and speak to help out in issues of the law. So I'm available through Kabula SDHH if anybody wants to contact me. And I'm also a master guide, so I'm mostly involved in my business. So I'm available in that way.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Really appreciate you. I think you're doing a very good job, and may God continue to bless you and your business and family as well. And we hope to connect with you very soon and wish you the best for the holidays as well.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that was, of course, Mrs. Chuma there talking to us about her business, that is McDonald's and Don Associates. Love it, love it, love it. Please contact them. Use their services.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.